Is this like your official intro music now? We've had this a few times, Will.
Yeah. You know what? I think I should change it up.
Oh, okay. All right. Didn't mean to call you out. I was curious. I thought.
Well, you did.
Well, it has a really kind of intro sound to it. So.
Yeah. I get a lot of messages of people trying to guess the song or asking me what it is.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So I think I should update.
This is still from IMAX, right?
I believe so.
Oh, yeah. So shout out to him. Check him out on YouTube, SoundCloud, wherever.
Shout out.
India is planning homegrown operating system to rival iOS and Android. That's some ambitious goals right there. To rival only the two most successful operating systems ever.
I would like to check it out.
I didn't even know where to start. Thank goodness I'm not the one being tasked by the government to build it. Did they come over and point at me? Hey, you over there. We want an operating system to rival iOS and Android. You have 2 weeks.
I'll get on it.
The Indian government is planning to incentivize the creation of an indigenous mobile operating system to rival iOS and Android. The Ministry of Electronics and Information Technology has announced via the Economic Times. The proposal announced on Monday by Minister of State for Electronics and IT, Rajiv Chandrasekhar, will encourage the technology industry to create a homegrown Indian mobile OS explicitly intended to create an alternative to iOS and Android in India. So this is part of this move from the top down to have homegrown alternatives in general, whether it be social media or, in this case, an entire operating system.
Mm-hmm.
This one specifically, this isn't any one app. This is an incredibly difficult thing to do. Could they even, from the ground up, approach such a thing at this point? Because you think of interoperability, you think of app stores.
Is it going to run Android apps still?
It would have to be some kind of skin, some kind of Android skin. I mean, I know that's not what they're saying here. They're saying an OS.
I mean, Huawei did it.
I guess.
A completely new operating system.
Is it completely new or does it have any Android source in there? Anyway, the project fits in with Prime Minister Modi's aim to create domestic leaders across multiple industries and product categories, as well as bolster the country's technology industry. The Indian government has unveiled a roadmap to achieve $300 billion worth of electronics manufacturing in the country. Well, that has been going on. Increasingly, even with Apple, they've been moving production to India, even for the latest devices. Mass production iPhone 13 is set to start in next month, and they're finally going to get a retail store. So some of those moves from the government seem to have had some kind of an impact here on technology companies moving a portion of their manufacturing to India itself. They had some policies around tariffs and things in order to incentivize some of that movement.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I think there's other external forces as well that probably play some sort of a role. Affordability, skilled labor, when it comes to manufacturing things there. If they're truly trying to have a ground up operating system, then it's going to be very, very expensive for one. And there's going to be need to be incentives across the board for
developers
developers of the apps that are going to run in such places. And that will be comparable to the alternatives because they're not going to shut off the tap to the other devices that are available. Now, it's important to note that this particular incentive would probably have a bigger impact on Android than iOS because most of the devices in that country are Android devices.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it's very ambitious. That's what I would say. If anybody asked my opinion, and they are not asking my opinion, and they do have billions of dollars, But I say this is a very ambitious task here.
Yeah.
Let's just, can we scan Android, please? Sir, would it be all right for me to like start with Android as a base and throw some government skins on it?
Mm-hmm. I think that this, if they're going to build it from the ground up, it's going to be long term.
Mm-hmm.
And initially, it's probably going to be bare bones.
I guess at this point, at that point, if you've done such things, you might as well do the hardware too.
Mm-hmm.
You might as well have government OS and government hardware. Now, this is a good point to actually ask locals there. Would you be at all interested in a government OS, government-funded OS, and government-funded hardware? I mean, it seems so strange, right? Especially in this era where it's so competitive. There's so many smartphone brands competing for your money aggressively.
Mm-hmm.
Increasingly, you're getting more for less with a lot of brands, particularly in India. You have a ton of selection. But it's hard to imagine how this proposition would be seen as superior. Even if you had tremendous pride in you and you loved the idea of homegrown talent and homegrown products, still it's hard to imagine that it could be competitive without bleeding a tremendous amount of money to or somehow punishing the other players who are trying to get their products into the country.
Right.
It's a tough one. YouTube CEO hints at potential NFT features shortly after Twitter mentioned NFT features as part of Twitter Blue. Susan now says the company is looking to help creators capitalize on emerging technologies.
Mm.
Yeah, she saw the Nelk video.
Yeah,
she
it's
saw
like we're missing out.
The Meta card. She's like, wait a second. She's like, is that $30 million? Because we think other creators should also be cashing in and using our platform in order to do so.
Forget about memberships and premium.
NFT ships.
Mm-hmm.
We're always focused on expanding the YouTube ecosystem to help creators capitalize on emerging technologies, including things like NFTs, while continuing to strengthen and enhance the experiences creators and fans have on YouTube. Well, if you think about it, you can get special
badges
currently as a member of a particular channel. Now, if that could be an NFT of sorts, that you could also, that maybe that badge could go with you elsewhere as a member, much like that Meta card that you're the best Nelk fan or you're the best Mr. Beast fan or whatever it happens to be. The detail was part of, how do we say that last name? Wojcicki?
I think so.
Her latest letter to the YouTube community, which outlines areas the company plans to invest in, like gaming and shopping, and how it plans to support creators looking to Web3 as a source of inspiration, specifically noting the opportunities with crypto, decentralized autonomous organizations, and NFTs. Because you just aren't a business. You're just not a web company in 2022 unless you are looking at Web3 and moving towards Web3.
Yes.
Get with it.
And talking about the terms.
Yeah,
DAOs.
You're pretty much doing nothing.
And dApps.
It doesn't matter if
DeFi.
You're delivering tremendous amounts of video across the planet, or if you're Amazon with warehouses and delivering goods and employing.
No.
You are not real until you're looking into Web3.
Uh-huh.
Then you're a real player in the future.
Yeah.
Amazon brings just walkout convenience to the suburbs. Oh, just walkout.
Mm-hmm.
I know what they mean. They're talking about Amazon Go.
Yes.
I have yet to interact with such a thing. I am looking forward to it. One day interacting with such things.
They should make one in Toronto.
Okay.
That'll be great.
All right, Jeff, you hear that? We'll just,
just do that.
Made a demand. And when he makes a demand, when Will Do makes a demand, you better watch it. It's basically a threat when he asks for something. He says it in a really pleasant way. It's basically a threat.
Yeah. You're done, bud.
What are you doing? You're actually taking me up on your Bezos threat here?
Yeah.
Jeez, man. You know this is going on the internet, right?
Oh, yeah.
He's not threatening Jeff at all. We're having fun.
Sure.
But even if you were, it was in a nice way because you want one of these go stores.
Yeah, I did call him Bud. So,
oof.
Yeah, we're good.
Anyway, this concept, you walk in, there's no cashier, you grab what you want, you walk out. Up until now, it's been like fairly limited number, I guess, of mm-hmm. stores, and they've been mostly in urban environments. Now they're bringing the same concept, in this case, to the suburbs, still in Seattle by the looks of it.
Mm-hmm.
Washington State near Seattle.
Yep.
Food, snacks, alcohol, few everyday essentials, convenience stores, basically.
Mm-hmm.
This one is 6,150 square feet, located in Mill Creek, Washington, which is 20 miles north of Seattle. So this goes hand in hand with their grocery / fresh. We talked about them doing the clothing store recently. Yep. I think we even talked about a pilot hair salon at one point.
Mm.
I'm going back now. But this is Amazon continuing to reach into absolutely everything to do an efficient job of absolutely everything and have you as a customer no matter what. They will be unavoidable in that future that we were referencing. So 2022, you just walk out the store. You just grab what you want. You walk out the store. That's all you got to do. Tesla now operates the most productive car factory in the U.S., which is might be interesting. That might be surprising to some, considering the fact that we're constantly talking about delays, but it goes to show you the tremendous demand and the need for rapid expansion for Tesla. They've got this huge demand, supplies, and making things, cars, hard.
The only way to deliver is to make it the most efficient as possible. Every single production line.
Yeah, so, it's tight. It's it makes sense. When you consider all the Teslas around here, they all got to come from right there. It's, you know, it's not a huge operation compared to some of the other stuff they've been building
mm-hmm.
and the expansion that's happened in recent times. But like my car, that car down there came from there.
This one right here.
Yeah, that's it. You just found it.
Yeah.
So anyway, when they say most productive, they mean for one singular plant. Let's see here. Bloomberg put together an interesting tracker of production at some of the biggest auto plants in North America, and Tesla's Fremont factory took the number one spot of all individual plants. The Fremont factory, 8,550 cars a week, which is above Toyota, BMW, another Toyota factory, and Ford. It's important to note these other manufacturers, they have many factories.
Yes, and like, years and years of experience.
Like Toyota's on there twice.
Yes.
For the time being, in North America, I think every Tesla you get is coming still from the Fremont factory until the Austin, Texas situation is sorted out and the trucks start to come from there. That's my understanding at the moment. That's my best guess at the moment. Now, you do have other plants elsewhere in the world, but this is only tracking U.S. shipments. And they're not, it's not by a huge margin that Tesla's ahead, but they are ahead.
Yeah, I don't know why they have all these squiggly lines here, but the red is supposed to represent Tesla.
It's the number of cars per week, Will.
Okay.
Dating back to 2012. And as you can see, actually, I'm assuming some of those top lines squiggles up there would have been Toyota that would have peaked back
right,
in 2014 at certain plants, probably before they expanded to have some other plant and so on and so forth. But demand plays a role too. There's a lot of factors here, but it is still a thing to be proud of, I guess, if you're Tesla, to be able to achieve 8,550 cars a week.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. That was actually Nissan that was way up there at certain plants.
Tennessee, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, just click on Ford, for example, at the top. What a beautiful little... So look at how many... Wait, is that one plant or all? Like, scroll down.
This is just one plant, I'm assuming.
But if Kansas you, City. But those other, the gray, the darker gray lines are other Ford plants, right?
Yes.
Yes. See, so Ford has so many plants. And click on General Motors. So many plants. Give me a Honda. Still a That's lot okay. of plants.
Yeah.
Give me a Stellantis.
Bang. Wow.
Give me
quite a lot.
Give me a Yoda. Bingo. So anyway, that's why you got to take this for what it is. But the key is if you look at Tesla's red line there, they came out of nowhere. They came out of no man's land. They came out of we don't exist yet to that point. So that if you look at the trajectory, it's very impressive from where it was even in just 2016.
Yeah.
American car company.
Congrats.
So anyway, whatever. I think it's pretty cool. 8,550 vehicles delivered, and people still want more. People are still waiting.
Can't get enough of it.
Elon Musk urges McDonald's to accept Dogecoin and promises to eat a Happy Meal in return. See, they made as many cars as they can per week in Fremont. And there's a lull at SpaceX, you know, in between. And so the most important thing to do today is to tweet at McDonald's.
Yeah. Come at me, McDonald's.
For Elon, because he's got to solve this Dogecoin thing, which everyone's waiting. They're like, hey, man, got all this Doge. And you've been too quiet about it lately. What happened to the good old days where I had a nice Elon Doge headline every couple of days? Mm-hmm. Happened to those good old days? Because I'm a hodler.
Yes. I think we all are.
Sure. No, I'm actually not when it comes to Doge. I'll tell you that right now.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, I guess is that a spike from 10138 to 101761? 10761101 38. Mm-hmm. Is that a spike? Would you call that a
point 006?
Okay. All right, spike.
Yeah, I would say so.
All right, it's a little tiny spike, and
you got to give him something.
And it's because it was a tweet, I guess. Do we have the tweet posted here? He said he would eat a Happy Meal on TV in the tweet.
Oh,
he was willing to eat a Happy Meal on TV if McDonald's agreed to accept Dogecoin. It was some sort of ultimatum. And then Burger King replies, only a king knows what the coin do. Because social media managers are
trying to be cool.
Are on top of it. Don't forget it. They're tracking good all this them. Stuff. Okay.
Why not?
Okay, so I'll eat a Happy Meal on TV. I don't know why TV specifically. Okay. Who's watching TV?
Good Morning America.
Yeah, like just eat it on the internet. Anyway.
Yeah.
If McDonald's accepts Dogecoin, and I guess he doesn't assume that they'll actually take him up on it, but he gets 43,000 retweets, 6,000 quote tweets, and 300,000 likes, and the Doge community gets to celebrate for another moment that they're still front of mind for what is at times the world's richest man. So I'm sure that the Doge community appreciates it. Mm-hmm. And maybe McDonald's does too, because he got a lot of people thinking about Happy Meals.
Yeah.
So
I want one right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I feel like you're halfway there.
Yeah.
Lamborghini announces an all-electric future will have an electric motor. All electric future vehicles will have an electric motor. All future vehicles will have an electric motor. All future electric vehicles will have an electric motor. Obviously, mm-hmm. Electric vehicles. This is not surprising because parent company VW had really aggressive EV goals,
yeah,
and timelines. So many other automakers have done similar. I think Mercedes did something similar. A lot of German companies are making these type of claims. Let's see here. Lamborghini announced that this year is going to be its last for purely combustion engine vehicles. Starting next year, we'll only introduce vehicles with electric motors, starting with hybrids and plug-in hybrids. Oh, okay. Okay, I see what this is. It's not going to be all electric right away, mm-hmm. but there will be some form of electric motor in there. For a long time, the Italian supercar maker has dismissed the idea of battery electric vehicles. So back in 2018, they say one thing and then they say something else, but everybody says something else eventually, including us. Like today we might be, please don't tell me about NFTs anymore. And then a month from now we'll be like, launching Willy Do Limited NFT. Welcome to Doville. Willy Doville NFTs.
Not a bad name.
Willy Doville. Minting 10,000
reasonable
at 0.75 ETH.
Okay, yeah, that's not too bad. Get in while it's hot. Actually, don't do that. Use your money wisely.
Oh, well, easy. Jeez, man. You got all You got scared there for a second.
Not financial advice.
No, it's like, listen, that's the way things go. It's the way the world works. Otherwise, you'll never be saying anything. I always hate that when it's like, you flip-flopped. Well, yeah, the circumstance changed. And
people change.
Well, not just people, but also circumstances.
Sure.
You say, I'll never have... electric cars will never be a choice for me. And then some company launches one that's better than some other car in every single way. And you're like, oh, yeah, they could be.
Mm-hmm.
Or all of a sudden there's charging stations everywhere or whatever. Like, it's good to admit that you were wrong about something.
Sure.
And to move towards a more productive path. It's great. Say, hey, man, I was wrong about that prediction. Sick. Now we're going down this road. I mean, obviously, ideally, you want to make accurate predictions, but I think we all need that ability to.
Too much pride gets involved. Ego.
So, social media. They bring up the old tweets. They're like, wait, Maurizio, I remember when you said you would never have a battery.
You loser.
Our target is to deliver a super sports car, and these specifications don't exist with a battery package in terms of energy and power. That's what Maurizio said. Originally, what do you say now, Maurizio? That's how Twitter sounds. All of Twitter sounds that way.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Now you like electric. Okay.
With the head movement.
I don't know why my head has to move that way as well. Anyway, I applaud you guys for being capable of changing directions. No matter what you think about the electric thing, it's the way things are going. You will have an Aventador hybrid in 2023, a Urus plug-in hybrid in 2024, a Hurricane hybrid in 2025, and an unnamed all-electric model by 2028, according to the CEO. So times have changed. Things have changed. Change is guaranteed. Everything changes.
Mm-hmm.
Always. NVIDIA quietly prepares to abandon a $40 billion ARM bid. There's a change. That's a change.
It's a $40 billion change.
We talked about this a little while ago at this point, but there was talks, a proposal for NVIDIA to buy ARM. And there was some pushback at the time that they would be too powerful. It would consolidate too much in the chip making space to have them as the same company. So there was some resistance. And also around the business model of ARM, like ARM is, they do the designs for the chips, right? Mm-hmm. And so a lot of companies kind of depend on them that also make chips and just sort of, hey, you know, it's kind of like the Activision deal where people got concerned that, oh, wait a sec.
Call of Duty.
What about Call of Duty? Am I going to get it on my Sony or whatever?
On my Sony? Yeah.
It's kind of like that. Like, could it create a conflict where, you know, it could be an anti-competitive scenario? NVIDIA has told partners it does not expect, so this is the new news, that they think they're going to get shut down. Those pesky regulators.
Mm-hmm.
NVIDIA has told partners that it doesn't expect the transaction to close, according to one person who asked not to be identified because the discussions are private. SoftBank, meanwhile, is stepping up preparations for an ARM initial public offering as an alternative to the NVIDIA takeover, another person said. The acquisition also faces resistance in China. The U.S. Federal Trade Commission first, they sued to stop the transaction in December, arguing that NVIDIA would become too powerful if it gained control of ARM's chip designs.
We now control the designs. We now... exclusive designs.
I watched Dune, remember?
Who is that in Dune?
I don't know. Somebody in Dune has that voice. Oh, Harkonnen.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can see that.
That's my favorite guy in the whole thing.
He's your boy?
When they first see him and he's bent over.
Mm.
The villain. I'm talking, I guess he's the villain of the movie.
Yeah. Who's the...
I don't know. Don't ask me his name.
I know because he's in Good Will Hunting. He was the professor.
Yeah, don't. Oh, the actor. You want the actor's name.
Yeah.
Oh.
Anyways.
Good Will Hunting. Wasn't that Robin Williams?
No, the other guy.
Oh. Okay, you're going to actually do this right now?
Okay.
You're going to take up everybody's afternoon here?
No, let's continue.
No.
Skarsgård.
Easy. Anyway, the character is has a lot of prosthetics and things going on, so...
Yeah.
It's a whole new thing anyways.
He's like a very bloated character.
Yeah, bloated, and he floats, and it's just, he's the by far the most fun thing in the movie.
Sure,
Like to see him going around, and he's always having those baths and stuff.
Yeah, he's taking his time, that's for sure.
You know, but he's also so angry, and he needs his resources.
He likes his spice.
Am I spoiling anything? I don't think we spoiled.
No.
I don't think we spoiled anything. Anyway, he definitely wants the chip designs. If he can get them, that guy, he'll take it. Anyway, so there's also resistance in China, and the authorities there don't like the takeover. So they don't expect it to get that far, though, because the U.S. is already in. So anyway, a lot of people don't like it. They put their deal together, and everyone's like, yeah, right. However, the Activision deal, they put it together, and everyone's like, yeah, right, seems good.
Yeah, works out.
But the Activision deal... Well, it was more money. It was, what was it? $70 billion.
Mm-hmm.
It was more money, but I guess it wasn't quite as, it didn't have quite as much potential to overwhelm the whole, like there's enough other developers, game makers.
Can you imagine Sony buys ARM? It's like, take that, Microsoft.
Wow.
I don't know if that makes any sense, but.
They get the chip design.
Yeah. It's like, we can do a big deal too.
You know? Oh, they just want to spend $40 billion.
Yeah.
No, actually, that's
why.
You
got your 70, I got 40.
That's why a lot of other development companies, software development companies, game developers, that's why the value went up the day after the deal. Because they were thinking, Sony's going to make a splash now.
Right.
They're going to go buy
one of us one day.
I don't know. Capcom went up and a couple of other local. Yeah. Japanese developers. So Neil Young wants his music pulled from Spotify over Joe Rogan's misinformation report. The old school rocker is sick of Spotify giving a platform to anti-vaccine nonsense through the Joe Rogan Experience. It's funny, you never even use that terminology anymore. The Joe Rogan Experience. It's called that, but you always just say, oh, I heard that thing, or that guy was on Rogan. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
But either way, Neil Young is upset. He's joining the list of, well, I guess, upset Spotify workers as well that are upset with Rogan's show, and so he's trying to leverage his catalog. But interestingly, he also has sold a portion of his catalog. Anyway, he wants all his music pulled from the streaming service as quickly as possible, according to an open letter. He doesn't like the misinformation. The podcast host who signed $100 million. Yeah, we all know Rogan's deal. I am doing this because Spotify is spreading fake information. It's weird to say Spotify is spreading fake information. Like, why do people have to oversimplify it so much? Like, we're 2 years old.
I think
Spotify.
Because,
hey, Spotify, stop spreading. What? These are platforms. People talk on platforms.
Yeah. It's an outlet. And you own the outlet, essentially.
Why do we have to agree? Why do we have to be so, I don't know. That's the thing now. You go and target the employer or
that's why everyone's just like, I'm going to take it to the corporate office.
The sponsor or whoever. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You demand to speak to we're not capable anymore of just making up our own decision and saying, oh, I don't want to listen to, I'm going to personally not be a Spotify customer. Okay, cool. But these demands and the severity of it and anyway, whatever, people are passionate, including Neil Young. And so he wrote an open letter to his managers. That's interesting. They can have Rogan or Young, not both. Okay. So that's the ultimatum. Well, there's been a lot of pressure already from Spotify employees internally and other people publicly. I'm not sure why this would be the thing to put it over the top. I'm not sure that this would be the one thing that all of a sudden Spotify management is like, oh, well, Neil Young said it, so so now we're done. Okay, so apparently the statement was on Young's website. Why are you laughing at it?
Are you belittling Neil Young?
No, I like Neil Young, man. I like Neil Young. It's kind of presumptuous that to think that you have that kind of leverage.
Right.
Where you're putting an ultimatum on Spotify. You're saying you can have one or the other, but not both.
What if it was like Drake?
I mean, it's a different amount of leverage.
Yeah.
Right now, in terms of plays, it's a different amount of business for them in terms of plays. But even there's no way Drake would do that. It's Drake or Rogan, not both. There's no
could be a meme.
I don't know. I don't know what way you would go about this, but I just think it's a little bit disconnected. It's I'm sure it's possible.
Yeah, maybe talk it out.
It's possible that this is the thing that puts Spotify over the top, but unlikely based on all the pressure that's already been applied to the situation.
Yeah, I hear you.
And so that's all I'm saying, Will. It's nothing against Neil Young. He's 76 years old. I mean, he's a legend. He may have even been on Rogan's podcast at one time. I don't even know. But
I just hope that maybe they can get together and have a talk.
Who?
Man to man.
Oh, you think you're going conspiratorial. This is a way to promote the eventual crossover episode where they go toe to toe in the Young versus Rogan in the debate.
That's not what I was thinking. Okay. I was just hoping like maybe Rogan just be like, hey, just come on the show. Let's talk out like man to man.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I don't know. That would be fun. Yeah, it's, yeah, like I said, I don't know. I'm just not a huge fan of demanding that, the platforming stuff, like who's on what and who listens. I prefer to have stuff out there and have the ability to choose and decide what I want to listen to, what I agree with, what I don't agree with, what I, you know, that's my take as a listener.
Yeah.
And so I don't necessarily want one musician on Spotify to decide what's on there and not on there, regardless of what I guess there probably could be some topics that would be even more sensitive. Yeah. You try to think about a scenario in which like Spotify's been stood by him and it's been a lot of, you know, but business too, $100 million.
I mean, we're talking about Spotify.
And every
right
time
now.
His name gets brought up, whether it's from Neil Young or someone else, there's the headline, there's the word Spotify over again.
Yeah.
And so it's like they keep counting all your controversies, except they count it in the ledger.
Mm-hmm.
They count it somewhere else.
Yeah.
I don't know. Are they breaking any laws? I don't know.
Yeah.
I like this transition here. From that topic to this one.
I feel like we have to lighten up the mood.
Departing Hong Kong residents fly their pets out of the city on private jets. These are private pet jets. I think one of the companies actually called PetJet. Owners pay up to $26,000 for chartered flights as COVID rules limit commercial airline services. Apparently, the jet is called Dog Express. And look at his outfit, by the way. He got the pilot shirt on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think
How did he get that?
I don't think anybody told him he's not flying. Yeah. Like he's not in control. Man, that dog kind of looks like my dog.
Kind of, yeah.
Which is weird because my dog is not a Shiba, but I just realized how much she looks like.
Got the markings, yeah.
I just realized how much she looks like one. Actually, no. You know what the difference is? Under the eyes. Those black dots under the eyes?
Yeah, they're not existent on your dog.
Nope, she doesn't have those.
It kind of, the white blends into the cheek.
Yes. You're right. You're correct. But her posture and build is it's very similar. Anyway, Caviar flew from Hong Kong to the UK. That's, I guess, the name of this dog here. On a Dog Express jet in December, the pet travel company has 3 private jet flights scheduled in the coming months. They just pack it full of dogs, cats, I think they even said some rabbits.
I'm guessing they get their own seat.
I guess. Right? I don't know. They're flying better than
they're
we
definitely
are.
Not in a cage.
Oh, that's a good point. You don't like the cage.
I mean, what if they hurt each other?
Right? Well, they probably got like a leash. They probably can't move around too much.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. Will, I don't know the answer.
Well,
to
they're really expensive dogs, so they might have etiquette. Royalty etiquette.
Oh, they're like well trained.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the ticket, if the ticket's worth 26 grand.
Yeah.
I would assume they have a system for making sure the dogs don't kill each other, because you just paid 26 grand to move them somewhere.
Sure, yeah.
The city has a zero COVID regime, which has led to soaring cargo rates and flight cancellations. People are grouping together to use private jets at a cost of about $25,665 for each owner, with their pet companies and individuals say. So I guess, do they get to go on with their pet, or is it just the pet itself? I guess it doesn't really matter. It's expensive. According to Chris Phillips, there's a huge demand. People want to get their pets back, and I guess they've already moved, left Hong Kong. So cats, dogs, and rabbits are making their way to a number of countries, primarily the UK, Australia, and Canada.
Hmm.
So,
that's a long way.
I guess a long way for a dog to fly?
Hong Kong to Canada?
Vancouver is not that far. I mean, what is it, like 10 hours or something? Maybe not even.
Australia would be far.
From Hong Kong, it's okay.
Oh, really?
Well, we flew into Hong Kong last time we were there. What was it? Even from here, it wasn't that long. It was like 11. No, maybe not even. Wait a sec. It must only be from Vancouver to Hong Kong must only be like 6 hours or something. Maybe 7.
Right. The Pacific.
Let's get to the bottom of this because now we're here, people are very upset. Okay. So just Hong Kong to Vancouver. I mean, we flew into there. We need to know this type of thing. But I don't remember. Did we have a stopover in Vancouver? No, we went straight.
It's 11 hours.
What?
Nonstop.
What?
Yeah, it's far, dude.
Hang on a second.
I think our flight was
okay,
like
give us let's do Toronto. Toronto, Hong Kong. Connecting. Those are all connecting. Now we're just searching for flights. We can't even go to Hong Kong. I think Cathay Pacific does it direct. Or maybe because of COVID, they don't do it anymore.
I don't think they do it.
That's what we did, man. Don't you remember?
Yeah. I remember the flight. It was like over 10 hours. That's for sure.
We were direct though, right?
Yes.
Okay, so we went direct from here, and it was probably like, well, I guess if it must have been like 13 hours or something.
Around there, yeah.
And then from Vancouver is like 10 sure. or 11 or something. Anyway, okay, you're right. It's a long flight for a dog. But I don't think the dog cares. Dogs just sleep, right? On a private jet, the dog probably getting food and
yeah, they're having
probably doggy entertainment on there on a TV.
Uh huh.
So,
watching Homeward Bound.
Wait, doesn't the dog die in that or something?
Yeah.
Oh, don't you don't want to? Don't show him that.
Supposed to be feel good.
Anyway, people are willing to pay tremendous amounts of money to try to get their pets out of Hong Kong right now.
It's a cool experience.
That's the story of the day. As far as why people are getting out of Hong Kong, I guess it's a political component to it, COVID component to it. There's a lot to it. Will's not going there. He switched subjects already. Mm-hmm. Solving VR's infinite walking problem with moon boots. Oh, who's ever going to solve VR's walking problem? It seems so difficult to solve.
Yeah, we've seen some before.
Well, mostly you just solutions. Have like slippery feet and you're just like...
Yeah,
and go... And it's just, I don't know, I feel like it's not really convincing. It's about the continuity of experience. It's about maintaining that immersion. It's about the ease of use and the learning curve, not needing to teach somebody how to use VR, but being able to put on the headset and experience the virtual world naturally. That's what we're focusing on. So that's the CEO of a company called Ecto VR, and they invented a pair of chunky cyberpunk-looking moonwalking boots, which are strictly to be used in virtual reality, so you feel like you're walking, and they look intimidating to say the least, but they do kind of look like moon boots.
They have RGB.
Of course they have RGB.
Nice. They got the Vive sensors on there.
So I'm guessing you sort of pick up your foot. Wait a second. What? Wait, what? If you're still walking around, oh, is there a treadmill?
No.
What's going on here? How come it looked like he was actually progressing in the room? Oh, he's not.
Oh,
he's,
there is a treadmill.
No, it's not a treadmill. The boots are doing it themselves.
They're
man.
Just slippery.
Yeah, no, it's like a roller or something. Oh my God. That's intense.
Interesting.
What's he doing in VR? Did you notice he's like turning off a gas line? What is that game? Oh, stairs, ladders. Wow, that's
Half-Life.
It's actually pretty cool.
Half-Life Alyx.
Those cannot be cheap though. Ecto VR. You're going to pay some money for that. Anyway, that's you. That's future you, Will. See the smile on your face?
Yeah, that's a great time.
Enable effective, they're not even going after gamers right away. They know it's going to be too much money. Enable effective training simulations, improve safety. That's why he was turning off a gas line.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It's going to be military. It's going to be industrial because they're the ones with the budget to be spending on this type of thing. And then they'll do a little Half-Life on the side.
Yeah.
A tiny bit.
How much do you think it'll be?
It's going to be a lot, man. I don't even think they're going to tell you. Maybe they will. But
I checked. I couldn't find the price.
No price. Okay. I don't. 10 grand? I don't know. 5 grand? Look at it. It's got
there's gears.
A lot of mechanical stuff. It's a lot of mechanical going on there. Actuators.
Seems like it's 3D printed as well. Some parts.
That's well, I see cool. A lot of carbon fiber in there too.
Yeah.
It's, oof. You got to assume that it's not like a large market, high volume thing yet. And anytime that's the case and it's more bespoke, you're paying for it. Because it's just, you know, economies of scale. Driver who stopped to help when truck carrying 100 lab monkeys crashed in Pennsylvania and put her hand in one of the cages says she now has a cough and pink eye after one of the macaques hissed in her face.
Oh,
what a headline. Man, when you get into the Daily Mail side of the internet, things, it's a whole different set of rules the way they write it. Mm-hmm. The headline is a paragraph and then the subheadings are all bold. It's like, where is the article?
Yeah.
They got their own rules. Woman who stopped to help monkeys in a truck crash is now feeling unwell. So she was basically driving behind a truck full of monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
Why was there a truck full of monkeys?
Lab
monkeys. Perfect. Sound like a beginning of a movie or something.
Mm-hmm.
So they crashed. The monkeys are out there. And she approached. Apparently, she claims she gets sick from one of them. She's begun a course of antiviral drugs to prevent rabies. The last of the four escaped monkeys were accounted for by late Saturday. Oh, man.
So they're all caught, right?
Pennsylvania, there's no one that's... Pennsylvania residents have been warned not to engage a crab-eating macaque that escaped from a truck carrying... So they put a notice out. If you see the monkey, do not engage.
Oh, so there's one that's out there.
No, he's caught too, I think.
Oh, okay.
He or her or whatever. Crates with live monkeys inside were strewn across State Route 54 in Danville, 130 miles from Philadelphia after the crash. A witness said he thought he saw a cat run across the road before making the shocking... This is like a Disney movie. The cat runs across the road and the monkeys get set free. Like the cat was meaning to do what it did.
Yeah.
So the driver goes to steer to avoid the cat, and the cat's like,
in hilarious fashion.
Exactly. And then the monkeys, although I'm sure it's not funny at all, probably some of those monkeys were cooked. Like not actually cooked, but just dead.
Yeah.
How are you going to crash with 100 of them and they're all in good shape after they? They said they're accounted for, but does that mean alive? No, probably not. She said, I was close to the monkeys. I touched the crates. I walked through their feces. I was very close. I called a helpline to inquire. You know, was I safe? Because the monkey did hiss at me. And there were feces around. And I did have an open cut. Oh, my God. This is terrible scenario right here. Whatever's going on. Is this her here?
Yeah. Would you do this? If you see like a truck that's been crashed and monkeys are all over the place, would you try to help?
What?
What can you do? That's what I'm trying to say.
Like, I mean, I assume she's trying to get to the driver more so than the monkeys. So I might go try to help the driver, but the monkeys themselves, I'm not going to try to wrangle them. I don't even know. I don't have any information about these animals. But maybe that's what she was doing. Maybe she was trying to get to the driver if the driver was injured.
But wouldn't you say that in this article? Because it seems to me like she's trying to rescue the monkeys.
This is the Daily Mail. What can you? What a day. I try to help out in an accident scene. Was told there were cats in the crates. So I go over to pet them to find out it's monkeys. Then I notice there are three in each. And I was completely broken. This is, wow, the way this is written, this Facebook post. The other was half broken. So I knew four got away. So come home, go to bed. My aunt runs into new crew, was asked to do What? What is this writing? Then find out not to get close to monkey. We tried to pet one. I touched the creates.
Oh. Is this a symptom of being bit by one of these monkeys here?
And walk in poop. Then was told to met police at the scene to talk about exposure. News crew was the, I thought they were CDC, so I to them. Wow, she is out of it. She must be on medication or something going on here. End up doing interviews, talk to police and a lady. I'm getting a letter.
Oh boy.
Symptoms are COVID. Like seriously, a day from hell. So she thought she was saving cats by the, I mean, it's tough to decode that message, but she thought she was saving cats going up to the crates, but they were monkeys. She got hissed at, and then she thinks she got COVID from a monkey, essentially.
Yeah.
They look pretty tidy in the crates.
I think this is the repacking.
Oh, okay. But I agree, I agree with your apprehension. For me, if the thing is crashed, I'm going to focus my attention mostly on the driver. And less so on the animals in the crates. But I don't know, man. When it's going down, you don't know where what you're gonna look at. And maybe you're walking up and then all of a sudden you're like, damn.
Accidentally.
And you just like look at the thing, you're like, whoa, there's a monkey in there. And then already hissed at you and you're already dead and you're already rabies and COVID and whatever else.
All right, last one.
Texas woman arrested for attempting to buy a child at Walmart. Oh, I saw this headline, but I didn't read the story. Did you read it? What
I read it, yeah.
What's
so this lady, I think she's around 49 years old, decided to just have a big bunch of cash and go buy a child from someone that she doesn't know. I just feel bad for this Walmart because like Walmart has nothing to do with it. It just seems like they've been put in this article just because it's Walmart, but happened in the parking lot.
It makes it more relatable. Everyone can imagine a Walmart and a Walmart parking lot. And so therefore you can, the casualness of the transaction kind of, you might think if someone was trying to buy another human, they would have,
Would be a Walmart.
No, exactly. You would imagine it would be some kind of sneaky way so that it's an important element plus SEO. But it is an important element, the fact that the person was brazen enough to just do it in a Walmart parking lot.
Mm-hmm. So she went up to the woman at first and said, hey, can I buy your child for $250,000?
A one-year-old.
And the woman kind of joked it off. The woman with the child, she's like, no. And then she's like, $500. And then that's when... security got involved and the cops.
According to an arrest affidavit, the mother had a baby in a car seat and her 1 year had a baby in a car seat and her 1 year old in the cart. So she's got
two kids.
Wow. So one is one and the other is, that's two kids pretty quick if you got another baby already. Okay. Commenting on her son's blonde hair and blue eyes, she then asked how much she could purchase him for. The mom tried to laugh the comment off, thinking Taylor was joking. However, Taylor told her that she had $250,000 in the car and would pay that much for him. The mother told her no amount of money would do. Once outside the parking lot, Taylor confronted the mother again and asked to buy the baby. And then she upgraded the offer to $500,000, saying if she wouldn't take $250,000 for him, she would give her $500,000 because she wanted him and she was going to take him.
That's so scary. It's like, yeah, this is going to happen. So here's the money and I take that baby over there.
Oh my God, that is so, so weird. She's being held at a Houston County jail. But, you know, it's a weird, like, when you read something like this, you obviously feel bad for the person who was approached, the mother. She's distraught after something like that. Trying to figure out, is this woman a risk? What is she talking about? The kids, obviously, that were there. I mean, I don't know how much they know of what went on, but obviously they had to file a police report. Police probably showed up. It was a weird day for them. But then also the woman who wanted the baby and what's going on with her psychologically.
Yeah, she might not even have the money. She's just saying that.
Just what kind of a state that they would have to be in to do something like this.
Definitely a cult.
Not a healthy place to be, obviously. Yeah. And so, well, that person's now being held in jail. Yeah, I really wonder where, if any of this money was present. Was there anything in the car?
Yeah.
Was this $500,000 actually even available for this deal? And not that it matters.
It would be crazy if she had the money.
I don't, like, I mean, the mother wouldn't have responded any differently, but I wonder from a criminal perspective, the difference there. If she could just say, oh, I was joking around. But then if the money was actually there, the cops would be like, oh, really?
I sold my NFTs to get this money.